Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Tarot International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Tarot.com.
And it is Tarot.com. In studio with us right now, his name is Carlos Alvarez. And Carlos is one of the presenters, one of the teachers, one of the instructors with Tarot International. Carlos, so nice to see you again. Welcome back to the News Hour.
Michael, thank you for having me back. Great to see you again.
So we're going to, you guys, in your email to me, you indicated that you teach 12 different tactics on how to become a better presenter. Is that right?
That is correct.
All right, so give me a list, man. What are you telling people about? What things?
Well, I appreciate that question, Carlos. What are the skills that you guys share in your presentations workshop?
Right.
And, you know, at Tarot International, Michael, we call them tools. Tools for the toolbox. And some participants are able to sharpen some of those tools. Others, they're brand new tools.
Well, you know, and they say, Carlos, that most people fear public speaking more than death. Now, you and I can't figure that out, but some people do.
But many in our audience are thinking the same thing.
Sure.
You know what? When at a funeral, I'd rather be the corpse than the one giving the eulogy. That's how fearful public speaking is to a lot of adults.
Yeah.
And so in that two-day workshop, we do go through 12 different skills that we share with our participants, and they include focus on eyes, facial expression, purposeful movement, gesturing, utilizing your hands,
mm-hmm.
volume, pace, filler words, inflection.
Filler words?
Filler words, yes.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a second.
All
keep
right.
going. Okay.
Sure.
I like that one.
And then we continue on with utilizing visuals, and we talk about a soundbite, which is an introduction to your visual aid. We talk about a technique that we encourage professional presenters of information to use, which is called ready, aim, fire. And then we also give you some additional tools with your visual aids, not how to make them, but how to utilize them most effectively. And we encourage you to follow a 3x3 rule, 3 words per line, 3 lines per visual, and having the font as big as you can.
Absolutely.
And the last one we talk about is the time, whatever time parameter you've been given for your presentation, give you some ideas of what to think about.
Yeah, don't go over that time, right?
Well, as a matter of fact, one of the things that we talk about, Michael, is inexperienced presenters go over their time allotment. How many times have you been in the audience and a presenter says, well, could you give me a couple more minutes? And the audience is nice enough to nod their head.
Sure.
But we can share with you, they're already tuned out.
Yeah.
So what we acknowledge in one of our tools that we provide for our participants, plan to be done early. And as a matter of fact, we encourage you, whatever time has been given to you, to be shooting to be done 5 minutes before that deadline.
Yeah.
Now think about it. 5 minutes is not a lot of time, but if you're the person that gets through all of your information and there's 5 minutes left, you've left an impression.
Yeah, you have. And, mm-hmm. and you haven't bored to tears everybody else that's sitting out there. You mentioned something, Carlos, in that lineup, and we're going to talk about several of these. But you talked about filler words,
mm-hmm.
and that is really intriguing to me. As you know, I do public speaking often, but I don't know what filler words are. So help us out.
Sure. Filler words are those words that come out from presenters when they're thinking of what they want to say next. And what's really interesting is that many presenters feel that every second they're up on stage or in front of an audience, something should be coming out of their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
So they utilize filler words. The most common are ums and ahs. However, any word that is repeatedly used can be referred to as a filler word.
Got it. So if I were to say interesting, and I say that all the time?
That's a filler word.
What about this word that so many presenters or so many individuals use, the word so? It's almost as though it is on the front end of any question. Is that a filler word?
Oh, Michael, thank you so much for acknowledging another common word, which is so. Many presenters feel they're adding something to the delivery. I can share with you what they're adding is another filler word. A much more effective technique is to say nothing. And here's what happens with the lack of filler words, Michael. Many presenters are not familiar with this. They're not aware that when you can pause, that pause, meaning there's nothing coming out of your mouth, it allows the audience to process whatever it is you just got done saying. And just as important, it gives you some time to think about what you're going to say next. So it's an advantage, another tool that we talk about. Most of us talk at a rate of between 145 and 165 words per minute, but we can think at over 700 words per minute. So when you pause, even though it's a small amount of time, you're getting that next thought in your mind.
Much better to not use filler words, so.
Very much so.
Interesting.
And Michael, here's what some in your audience are thinking.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a great idea, but how do I do that? And that would be another skill that we teach. If I was to put these in rank order, the 12 that I mentioned before, focus on eyes would be our number one skill. And what that simply is referring to, many presenters have been coached or told to look in different areas at the audience.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, what we hear most often is to scan your audience back and forth, to look over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If you're scanning, you think you're giving eye contact to a lot of individuals in your audience, but you're not. If you're looking over your audience members' heads, you think they'll never know.
They know.
And so we utilize a skill, we share a skill that simply says something about what experts talk about when it comes to looking at your audience member. Some experts say you should look at your audience member's eyes 50% of the time. Other experts say look at your audience member's eyes 75% of the time. And yet other experts say look at them 80% of the time. At Tarot International, we simply say this. Only look at your audience member's eyes for the parts you want them to believe in. What number is that, Michael?
It's 100%, baby.
100% of the time. And as humorous as that may seem, it also sends a different message.
It does, doesn't it?
When you can look at different members of your audience in different areas of the audience and maintain that eye contact, that sends a different message. It pulls that audience member in, and whoever is sitting behind the person you're connecting with, their perception is, they're looking at me. And that's how we engage the audience members and pull them back in. Most presenters have a tendency to scan back and forth or look over the audience head. Those presenters have a tendency to lose their train of thought.
I would suggest that that's absolutely true, because if you're not focusing, and focusing on someone's eyes or actually looking at them keeps you on track too. Yes?
It does. It appreciate that statement. It keeps you on track as a presenter. And it seems counterintuitive to think about it, that you're asking me, Carlos, to look at one individual at a time. Yes, what it comes down to is you're making a presentation one set of eyes at a time. That, it's interesting what that does. The focus on eyes slows you down to a conversational pace. And here's a really advantageous part of this, Michael. It reduces or completely eliminates filler words. Just the fact that you can look and another person in the eyes. It's amazing what I can do for you.
If we've got a group of 20 or 30 or 40, or a group of 500 or 1,000, what happens when I'm having a conversation with one person? Do I stare at their eyes as well?
Sure. Michael, I think what you're asking me, what your question really is to me, what I'm hearing you ask me is, hey, how long can I look at somebody before I make them feel uncomfortable?
Right. The guy's lurking at me here.
Guy's making me feel uncomfortable. Well, the reason we share that focus on eyes is that research tells us something. In North America, most of us are okay being looked at up to 14 seconds. If you're looking at somebody between 15 and 19 seconds, I say, hey, buddy, take a picture. It lasts longer. And if you look at somebody longer than 20 seconds, it's when you begin to make somebody feel uncomfortable.
Hmm.
So let's go back to what you asked me. Carlos, if I have a large audience, I can share my eye contact. But what do I do if it's just one-on-one?
Yeah.
Well, here's where part of that focus on eyes says this. You look at a set of eyes finishing a word, a complete thought, or a complete sentence. So when you're done with that complete thought or complete sentence, it's okay to break eye contact with that one individual. Look away. Maybe you have a handout. Maybe you have a flyer. Maybe you're talking to somebody about something. It's okay to break that eye contact, that momentary break of eye contact, and you come back, that clock starts all over again.
Got it. All right. So we're talking about presentations, ladies and gentlemen, individuals who are presenting. If you have a team that you have to present to, or a group of people, or maybe it's people that you don't know. Is it easier, by the way? Is it easier to work with people that you know versus people that you maybe have never spoken to before? I mean, that interaction's got to be different,
sure,
too.
Well, you know what, Michael? I hear that often. I hear in the part with the participants saying, you know what, if I didn't know anybody in here, I'm much more effective. If I know somebody, it's uncomfortable. I've done my own unofficial surveys, and this is what I found out. The reason we feel that way, that we know people, is that many of us, we know what our strengths are. We don't like to acknowledge our limitations. And being able to tell someone, show someone, I'm not as good as I thought I was with presentation skills, and these are my teammates. Ouch. Yet at the same time, I would say to you, it's also a good team-building activity to realize, you know, you're really good, but there's room for improvement in these tools that Tarot is talking about.
When we talk about Tarot's interaction with individuals, is this something that Tarot does one-on-one, or is it in a classroom setting? How do you go about teaching some of these 12 steps to a more effective presentation?
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that question, Michael. And the 12 specific skills that I've acknowledged with you are the skills that are discussed, talked about, shared with our audience in the two-day workshop called Impact, How to Speak Your Way to Success. And so those are the tools that we work on in 2 days. We show you, we tell you, show you, and then the third part is we test you.
Huh?
We actually get involved. We all learn in three different ways: audio, visual, and kinesthetic. So a lot of individuals come to our workshop saying, tell me what I have to do. Others say, show me what I have to do. We do that, and then we do the third part, which is kinesthetic learning. Not only do we tell you and show you, now you get up in front and try it. Mm-hmm. We want you to have some muscle memory before you leave our workshop, so you know what it feels like.
Are people oftentimes surprised how much they can increase their ability to communicate after taking a class like this?
Michael, I appreciate that question. Here's what I've seen has been the biggest impact for many participants, and this is one of the things that we at Tarot do that is invaluable, and that's this. You give a presentation to introduce yourself. It's a baseline. And as we go through the day, sharing with you additional tools, the next day...
You build on that.
We build on that.
Got it.
And the second day is when you have a formal presentation, and we record that. At the end of that, you have an opportunity to view both your introduction and the formal presentation, and then you have a coach, one-on-one coach. You'll watch both, and I can share with you that I've seen it night and day with some individuals that say, I did not even realize I was doing that. And for other individuals, being able to be told what they're doing effectively and maybe not so good, that's one thing. But when you can show somebody and they can see it with their own two eyes and hear it, that is very powerful. And that's one of the tools that we use to be able to encourage and show individuals how much improvement they've made within 24 hours.
Carlos Alvarez, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about effective presentations and how to better speak to an audience of one or 100 or 1,000. This, I think, is really seminal. We've talked about stance in the past. So, and we've talked about how you square up your shoulders, you are relaxed, you keep your knees bent a bit.
You remember, Michael.
Of course,
yes,
I do.
Right.
I'm with the master.
Excellent.
I just hope that I could somehow do that from time to time, you know, remember all this stuff. Everything that we've talked about to this point, mastering these skills through the impact opportunity, does that start to alleviate what we started to talk about right at the beginning, fear?
Sure. Michael, I'm so glad you're asking me that, because that's one of the questions we get asked often. You know what? Is there a little golden nugget that I can get? Is there going to be a magic word that makes me feel comfortable? And here's the reality. The reality is you should never feel comfortable. And so what we share with people is the skill to focus on eyes. That really allows people not so much to relax, but to be in control.
Mm.
And I cannot say to you, you should be relaxed before you get up and present. As a matter of fact, I feel for individuals who say, I'm really relaxed, I'm ready to go on. I feel for you. I think it's always good to have a little thing going on, a little anxiousness.
You know, I've done this for years, Carlos, and I tell people this very openly. Before I get up to make a presentation about anything, I'm a nervous wreck. You don't know it necessarily, but I can feel it. It's the anxiety, and I get it. Once there, let's go. But boy, before you get up, that can become sometimes stressful.
It can be very stressful. And Michael, what you're talking about, I shared with you the workshop is called Impact, How to Speak Your Way to Success. We could very easily have called that workshop Surviving the Adrenaline Zone. That's exactly what you're talking about. There's an increase in our heart rate. adrenaline is being pumped through our body. Some presenters feel it, their heart rate, and for some of them, we can actually see their clothing moving. Uh-huh. I mean, it's that sweaty palms, shaky knees, all of that comes into play. And what's really interesting about what you said, you felt that in our workshop, we feel some individuals may be having a panic attack. Huh. It is our job to make you look like you're not having a panic attack. That's the difference.
Master.
Many presenters of information have a tendency, once they feel that, to do things with their stance, to do things with their eye contact that makes the presenter feel comfortable. And what they don't realize is they're sending unintended messages to the audience by what they're doing. And that's why we cover those skills in the 2-day Impact How to Speak Your Way to Success that will help you, even if you're having a panic attack, look like you're not having a panic attack.
Carlos Alvarez, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tarot International. Impact, speaking your way to success. I like it. Good
Me
stuff.
Too.
Yeah, you too. How often do you do this, Carlos?
Well, it's a cyclical throughout the year. But you know what? There's some times when I'm having 2 classes, 3 classes per month, 2 days, and other times when I can go through 1 or 2 months and we don't have class. And that's because of the numbers of sure. trainers that we have at Tarot International.
And you've got a boatload full
we
of them.
We do.
And
we
one
do.
Of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that I so admire about everything that we've always heard about Tarot International, you started your conversation with me today with a fact. You started it with, and you folks do such a great job with research. So it's not guessing. These are all things that you guys are built into your DNA.
Thank you, Michael. We don't think about just making things up. We talk about research. We're a research organization, and we bring out the latest information that's out there that's relevant to those that present information to
others.
There
you go. Carlos Alvarez, ladies and gentlemen, we will have links to Tarot International on the radio blog so you can find out more about that. Thanks for coming by again, sir.
Thanks for having me here, Michael.
Always a pleasure. All right, we've got to back out because why? Well, we've got to find out what happened today on Wall Street. I can tell you early in the day, things were not looking so good. And then about an hour before the markets closed, all of a sudden things started to pop. Not wildly, but pop they did. Bringing all the numbers when we come back on the Business News Hour. Let's go! Steve Brooks, barely down the street.